This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Later in the show, a look at the student-run businesses that are underway at Xavier University. Starting off today, domestic violence not only takes a toll on its survivors. According to a 2013 report in Forbes, it's also responsible for an estimated $8.3 billion in medical and lost productivity costs each year in the United States. The YWCA Domestic Violence Employer Assistance Program was designed to support businesses who learn of an employee who's struggling with domestic violence. Last year alone, the YWCA of Greater Cincinnati fielded nearly 20,000 calls to its domestic violence hotlines and sheltered more than 1,000 women in four counties at its shelters. Joining us to discuss domestic violence and the workplace are Karen Foos, Vice President of Human Resources and Diversity with Macy's Credit and Customer Services, and Teresa Singleton, Director of the YWCA of Greater Cincinnati Protection from Abuse Programs. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Karen and Teresa, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Teresa, help us to understand better how serious an issue domestic violence really is.
Domestic violence is an issue that impacts everyone, all of us in our community, whether we know it's happening or not. For example, even if you say, okay, well, I don't know anyone who's experienced domestic violence, it's not part of my life, I would say this: even if you don't know anyone who's experienced it, it's still going to impact you, because domestic violence is a very expensive social problem. And it'll hit you in your pocketbook through higher taxes. It diminishes the quality of life for victims, children exposed to it. It diminishes the quality of life for coworkers who perhaps hear what's happening to another coworker. So it's devastating, and it's lethal. For example, we know that 334,000 pregnant women are battered each and every year in our country, and domestic violence homicide is the second leading cause of death among pregnant women. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's very disturbing, too.
It's very disturbing, and certainly I could go on.
And I can certainly, add on to that in the workforce, the impact that it has not only on the victim that is experiencing the abuse, but on all the coworkers that are watching helplessly their coworker come to work with bruises or just not able to function in their position. So I think when we're able to reach out and provide someone with the necessary support, not only does it help improve their lives and their children's lives, but it also helps improve the lives of their coworkers, who feel good that they work for a company that can provide someone the necessary assistance they need.
Karen, Teresa was talking about the economic impact that domestic violence has. There really is a ripple effect of this whole thing. It affects the whole community, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I mean, not only a productivity of the company, but also healthcare expenses. Women who are experiencing domestic violence are 70 to 80% more likely to experience a stroke or heart disease. So the financial impact to companies in the community is quite significant.
Teresa, are most of the victims of domestic violence women? Is there an impact on men as well?
Well, yes, this is not a gender neutral issue. And certainly men can be victims of domestic violence, but the vast majority of victim survivors are women. But we want to be able to help anyone who's experiencing domestic violence. So whether she's male or female, it doesn't matter to us.
What makes these issues so incredibly difficult to manage?
Well, historically, domestic violence has always been considered a private matter. And though that has changed over the years, there's still elements of our society that view it as a family matter. For example, there are certainly employers that send a message, that's a family matter, don't bring it to work. And that's not helpful to the victim, coworkers, and it's certainly not helpful to the company, because you know, when you hire someone, you invest resources and time and training. And if you lose that employee because of domestic violence, you've just lost your investment. So it impacts the employer's bottom line. And that's a good reason. That in and of itself is a good mm-hmm. reason for employers to take this issue very seriously.
You know, I also think victims are embarrassed. Yeah. They're embarrassed to come forward, and they believe it's going to impact their job. They don't want to share very personal information. And a lot of times the victims don't understand that the employer has access to resources that can actually help them, and that the employer can do things in terms of changing their schedule or providing resources that can help to help them get out of this bad situation.
Karen, is there a way employers can get their employees to open up, to get over that embarrassment?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. I think by providing education in the workplace to let employees know, number one, that this is a serious matter, that there are resources available that, you know, can be offered to them that can help them in these situations.
And as importantly, by sending this message that it's okay to talk about domestic violence in the workplace, that makes it more likely for a survivor to disclose, because she's not going to have to worry about losing her job. And some survivors of domestic violence do lose their jobs, not at Macy's. Macy's is a perfect example of a company that takes this very seriously. And they retain their investment employees because they have created a culture that makes it okay to talk about domestic violence. So associates aren't afraid to come forward and share what's happening to them. And that's critical. That's absolutely critical.
And what we've really tried to do is not just make domestic violence, you know, the education available during the month of October, which is Domestic Violence Prevention Month, but to do it throughout the year. So we incorporate healthy relationships into our Live Healthy initiative, where we have monthly education to our associates. We also incorporate it into our lead and supervisory training for managers. So we just try and have just a regular cadence of information available so people are aware of what the company is doing and what are some steps that you can take to help yourself.
Karen, what can a company do? I mean, where is the line between helping a victim and intruding on a personal issue? What are the
right
legal
now? That's a great question. We make sure that we don't give advice, that we teach our supervisors how to identify victims that may be going through situations where we need to reach out to them and say, hey, is everything okay? You know, you seem to be absent from work a lot. Is there anything you want to talk about that maybe I can be able to provide some assistance? And not to judge the employee, not to make any judgment, never tell the victim to leave the situation, because, you know, Teresa can certainly comment on that. That can actually put them in just a horrible situation and worse situation than they're currently in. But to really just teaching supervisors on how to identify and just simply how to engage in conversation. And then once we identify someone, we tell the manager to call human resources. Human resources will have a touch-base session with the individual. Then that's when we really get the experts involved, like the why, to come in, have a private conversation with the employee at work. So this way, their abuser does not know that they're reaching out and they're getting help from someone.
Right. So a good example, I might get a call from Macy's and I drive out to their location. I meet with the survivor privately. She may share information about her situation. And then my role is to provide her options, resources, and safety planning so that she can continue to work. Because we know that domestic violence is rooted in a desire for the abuser to gain power and control. And if a victim loses her financial independence, then it's going to make it that much more difficult for her to get out of a relationship. So the last thing we want her to do is lose her job. So we're going to provide all the resources and options available so that she can take care of what she needs to take care of and continue to work in a safe way.
Karen had mentioned absenteeism
right.
as being one of the signs that someone might be an abuse victim, a domestic violence victim. What are some of the other signs?
Well, if you have an employee who's been historically productive, and then suddenly that employee's not productive, maybe she can't concentrate, maybe she's withdrawn, late for work. Those are the big signs. Or perhaps she tells someone. And the last thing we want is for domestic violence to become an issue of gossip in the workplace. But maybe she tells someone, and then that person tells someone else, and pretty soon people know about it. So that may bring it to the attention of human resources. But we really don't want it to become a workplace gossip issue. Confidentiality is extraordinarily important when you're working with survivors, because if the abuser finds out that something is going on, then that could potentially put her more at risk. Because as Karen said, leaving is the most dangerous time for a victim. So let's say, for example, a woman leaves her relationship. Well, the abuser may not know where she's staying, but he's certainly going to know where she's working. And he may show up and try to act out in an aggressive or violent way. And that's why it's critical that, one, employers know about domestic violence. Some employers don't want to know about it because they think, if I don't know about it, I don't have to deal with it. But if you don't know about it, you can't deal with it, and then there's more danger. So companies like Macy's, they do all sorts of things to keep victims safe in the workplace. And Karen, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, certainly. And I think if you're keeping the victim safe, you're also protecting everybody else in the work environment. We have changed the victim's work schedule. We've actually changed their work location. We have offered them a parking spot that's closer to the building where security can oversee the parking spot. So we really work with each individual to figure out how can we best protect them while at the same time protecting individuals within the workforce. Because I think the notion to say of an employer, I don't want to get involved because I don't want to jeopardize the safety of my other employees, that's really a mistake.
A big mistake. Absolutely.
Teresa, are most employers equipped to handle this issue?
I think yes. I really believe that most employers, where they're a small company with less than 50 employees, or, you know, a huge organization like Macy's, and everything in between, absolutely, because it's about creating awareness through education and training. And the YWCA is available to do that really anytime. It's about, you know, ensuring that safety plans are in bathrooms, because that also sends a message. It's okay to talk about domestic violence in the workplace. So yeah, there's lots of things that employers can do that won't cost a lot of money.
Any idea how many companies in town have employee assistance programs for domestic violence?
Well, I know that there are companies like TriHealth. They have a good policy on domestic violence, because a domestic violence policy is very different than a workplace violence policy. So they have a domestic violence policy. They keep safety plans in all of their restrooms so that employees and patients know that domestic violence is an issue and there are places to get help. And then they will provide help to employees that come forward. So TriHealth is a good one. GE has a policy, and they provide resources and information to survivors. And they also have an employee assistance program. EPA has had training on domestic violence. BioMeridian Science. So there's a handful of companies that have had training, and I know that because I've done the training, but there's still so many more that haven't had it. It's perhaps not on their radar screen, and we would really like to change that.
We'll continue our conversation about domestic violence and how employers can help their employees who are struggling with it, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss domestic violence in the workplace are Karen Foss, Vice President of Human Resources and Diversity with Macy's Credit and Customer Services, and Teresa Singleton, Director of the YWCA of Greater Cincinnati Protection from Abuse Programs. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Teresa, what are the specific elements that go into the YWCA's domestic violence program?
Well, the YWCA provides consultation, policy development, resource material, safety plans, healthy relationship plans, as well as crisis intervention and for employees directly experiencing domestic violence, as well as a host of training on the issue.
Yeah, here's a question for you, Teresa. As far as a manager at a small company, he notices an employee who may be a domestic violence victim. So what are the first steps that he should take, and what are some of the dangers of a manager or a coworker getting involved without the proper support or legal advice?
Well, I think that it's dangerous for employers to talk to survivors about domestic violence if they don't know anything about the issue. It's a very complex issue. So we want employers trained on it so they know, for example, that you don't say to a victim, well, just leave the situation, because leaving may in fact make it worse. And I've had human resource directors from other companies tell me, well, if she goes back to her abuser, I'm going to fire her. And that
sounds like the worst possible thing
to do. That is the worst possible thing to do. And a lot of survivors or women actively in a domestic violence relationship fear that they will lose their jobs. And for some survivors, it's hard to work anyway, because the abuser may not want them to work. He may sabotage the car. You know, he may, you know, call her 100 times a day at work, and that gets her in trouble. So the very worst thing we can do is terminate a victim, because now she's lost her financial independence. So it's very disturbing, and we know that it happens.
One of the aspects of the YWCA's program is that you're also working with the perpetrators themselves, aren't you?
Well, right. The YWCA provides holistic services relative to domestic violence. We have shelters and housing for victims of domestic violence, male and female. We have AMEND, which is our treatment program for batterers, and we serve upwards to 600 in that program, most of whom are court mandated. So the wonderful thing about employers working with the YWCA, we have all of these services ready to go. So if an employer has someone who's an abuser, they could refer the abuser to us, and we could make sure that he gets the service that he needs to change his behavior. If they have a victim that needs shelter, we can provide that shelter or crisis intervention if that's what she needs.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. And let's talk with Chris in Covington. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for having my call. I have a comment and then a question. And the comment is about where the conversation began, about the effects of domestic violence on the whole community. And one thing I wanted to bring up is, my wife and I have noticed, we have two boys, ages 6 and 9, and we have noticed that our children have been affected by the lives of kids around them. And so my children have just seen things and heard things that they should never be hearing at the ages they are. And so, I mean, we have a peaceful home, but we find that it really does affect us in our kind of our core place of our existence, which is in our two children's lives. So that's a really important point to bring up, I think. And then I have a question. It occurs to me that being an abuser cannot bring good things into that man's life or the abuser's life. It's got to be life-crushing, I would think, on the big picture. Can you tell me, have there been any studies about the long-term implications of what that does to a person when he propagates violence on another person? And I'll take my answer offline.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Do you want me to go ahead?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Well, that's a very complicated answer, but domestic violence, as I said earlier, really does impact everyone in a very negative way. There is no doubt about that. And I can give you a good example. The current research shows that children from birth up to age 5 who witness chronic domestic violence are at risk to lose up to 8 IQ points. 8!
That's astounding.
It is astounding. That's double more than lead paint exposure. Mm-hmm. That has been proven that exposure to domestic violence impacts a child's developing brain. And we know that there are long-term health consequences for children exposed to domestic violence. Number one, they may grow up to perpetrate abuse because children live what they learn or learn what they live. So we know that boys, for example, are 1,000 times more likely to grow up and perpetrate violence against an intimate if they witnessed it as children. We know that kids who witness domestic violence, while their kids are resilient and they can grow up and be okay, we know that they suffer academically, they suffer with respect to development of peer relationships, they have physical problems, asthma, stomach aches, all kinds of stuff. It has such adverse negative health consequences that it can actually shorten our lives.
So, Teresa, how effective are programs like the WISE? Are you guys having an impact on what's going on with domestic violence?
I believe we are. And, you know, I've been doing this work for 25 years, and I'm in a unique position because I have worked with, you know, thousands of survivors, and I see the difference. I see survivors getting free of violence. Their children are free and safe. And again, the most important thing we can do for kids is give them a sense of safety. And AMEND is a highly effective treatment program for abusers. And our recidivism rate is very, very low. We monitor it through the court process. And about 94% of men that go through our AMEND program don't end up back in the court system. Which is very positive.
Karen and Teresa, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Karen Foos, Vice President of Human Resources and Diversity with Macy's Credit and Customer Services, and Teresa Singleton, Director of the YWCA of Greater Cincinnati Protection from Abuse Programs. Coming up, a look at the student-run businesses at Xavier University. And in Focus on Technology, a high-tech version of Shark Tank. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.